A prowler, he repeated, softly. I knew I wasn't imagining the guarded look that crossed his face. That's right. Last night, around midnight, maybe a little after, I was in the late Mr. Hyde's study when I spotted a man peering through the windows.
You did?
He set his cup on the coffee table between us. When he glanced up, his expression was rueful, his smile winning.
I'm embarrassed to admit it, but that was me.
No. He threw me a doubtful look, but Seamus wasn't the only one with experience at play-acting. I blinked at him in astonishment. He said,
yes. Sorry if I startled you. I didn't realize anyone was up at that hour.
To be honest, I'd been prepared for evasion, defensiveness, even denial. Frank admission sort of threw me. It took me a moment or two to recalculate. Seamus said into my silence,
It never occurred to me anyone saw me.
He sank back into the chair. I could practically see his nimble hands working the loom as he spun another web of lies.
By coincidence, I did have trouble sleeping last night, so I decided to go for a walk in the garden. And while I was strolling around, falling over rakes and wheelbarrows, I happened to spot a light go on downstairs.
I see. That first light would have been the drawing-room chandelier. He nodded absently, as though gazing inward at some memory.
A minute or two later, I spotted another light go on two rooms over.
That would have been when I turned on the lamp to Ogden's study. He had certainly memorized the layout of the house.
How?
No, more to the point.
Why?
Seamus was still blithely running along, telling his tall tales.
Of course, I know that Terence occupied the other wing of the house, and it was hard to imagine the old ladies running around in their 90s at that hour.
He gave me an apologetic smile.
I'd forgotten all about you.
That was payback for dodging his kiss. I smiled blandly, as though nothing pleased me more than to be instantly forgettable.
Naturally, the first thought that popped into my head was a burglar.
Naturally, I said. Because the first thing burglars do is turn the lights on.
Since I happened to be standing right next to the terrace, I ran up and had a look in the window. I recognized you, of course, but then the light went out. I felt like an ass racing around, peering through windows in the dead of night, so I took myself home to bed.
Yeah, of course, I said. What else could you do? Seamus gave me a narrow look. I said, You didn't go inside the house for any reason?
No.
If you were chasing burglars, he said shortly,
I didn't go inside the house. Not for any reason. Not at any time.
Hmm. I believed him, but I pretended not to be convinced. Seamus retorted,
Anyway, if you saw me, why didn't you wave or yell or send smoke signals or something?
Again with the smoke. I was otherwise preoccupied.
With what?
Chasing a ghost. He stared at me.
A ghost? Whose ghost?
Now that's a very interesting question. According to local gossip, my aunt's late husband. He died about a year ago. You may have heard something about it.
Right. A fatal car crash.
Yes. He was looking at me as though he couldn't quite make up his mind about something.
What happened? Last night, I mean.
Last night, not much. I gave him the whole story, from the thump on my door to the dead end, no pun intended, of Ogden's study. Seamus heard me out, in silence, his alert gaze never leaving my face. When I finished, he said casually,
You don't believe in ghosts, then?
No. Even if I did, I don't believe in pipe-smoking ghosts who apparently have enough earthly body left to make stairs squeak. He smiled faintly.
I see your point. You never actually got a good look at him. Or her?
No. I was never close enough to know for sure whether I was chasing a man or a woman.
Any guesses as to who your haunt might be?
I assume it's supposed to be Ogden. As to who it really is floating around after hours? No. There's a limited cast of suspects.
He grinned. Including me.